Good evening. Good evening. For this evening's sermon, I want to take a look at the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1. I'll be reading from verses 1 through 6, and also I'm going to be reading verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Christ Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also called of Jesus Christ. Verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we're so grateful, Lord. We thank you, dear God. It is a great privilege and honor to come together and gather together, Lord God, to hear a portion of your word. Dear Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, Father God, that we might be edified and that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1. Dave gave us a great gospel message this morning. And I just wanted to, for the evening, just wanted to continue in that theme. Because we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about a message that is very controversial, especially these days. It's the most widely misunderstood, neglected, and even rejected message in the world. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what is this message all about? And what are its implications for us? We know in the context where Paul wrote this book, he was writing, obviously, to the church in Rome. And he was sharing with them this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there are three things that I want to deal with in terms of the gospel and its personal implications. I decided to call this message, What Am I Doing with the Gospel? And I use the word I, and I use I because it is a personal message. It's a message for each and every individual, each and every soul that will ever grace God's green earth has the responsibility to respond to this very message at some point in their lives. That's the gospel. So the question is, what am I doing with the gospel? There are three things that I want to deal with. We're going to deal with the call of the gospel call. We're also going to deal with the call. We're going to deal with the call of the gospel. We're going to deal with the lifestyle of the gospel. Then finally, we're going to deal with the power of the gospel. So what is the call of the gospel? To put it simply, God calls each one into himself. He says in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, he says, turn to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and beside me there is no other. Jesus, in like manner, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls." That's the call. God calls each one as an individual. He calls us to himself. He calls us to obedience. He calls us to separate ourselves. And in that call, we are being separated. We are being set apart for the very purpose of God. And the purpose of God ultimately is salvation. What other purpose is there? For those souls that have been destined for destruction because of sin, the very purpose of God is to save those souls. But in order to do that, he has to call us out of our sin. That's why the Bible says he's called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the very Son that he loves. It's the call. So when he calls you, you know. And for the most part, you can kind of be dismissive. You can kind of put it off. Naturally, we do. I don't know. You know, I can't speak for anyone else, but I didn't get it right away. It took some time. It took hearing it. It took living. It took God continuously showing himself faithful to bring me to a place of repentance. That's the call. So the call of God is to come and separate ourselves from all that is not of him. All that is not conducive to our salvation. He calls us. He sets us apart. He said, "Sanctify yourselves and be ye holy, for I, the Lord, make you holy." He says that in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 8. He's calling out a people to come to him and live for him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. So he's going to call us to himself. And that's a place where we learn of him. When Jesus called, when Jesus said in Matthew, he said, "I will give you rest." We have rest for our souls. We are free from the burden of sin, the guilt, and everything that comes along with it. Even the very consequence of sin, and that's death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What am I doing with this gift? There's only one way to use this gift. It's the Word of God. So you're misusing and you're mistreating and you're mismanaging the gift when you refuse to study the Word of God. You are neglecting your salvation when you refuse to answer the call of Jesus, because he says, "Simply come to me. Let me show you the way of salvation. Let me show you the way, the truth, and the life." See, when you've spent enough time in solitude with God, you come to an understanding that there's nothing in this world that you need. He becomes everything that you need. He becomes your all in all. But we all tend to, by nature, we tend to take these things for granted. We tend to lack the discipline and the fortitude to hold fast to these things. That's why it's so important that we hold fast. Because the minute that we let go, we begin to falter. And we will ultimately fall. What am I doing with the gospel? Am I taking upon myself to study? The Bible clearly instructs us to pray without ceasing. Do not stop. Do you need to know Greek to understand what that means? Stop. Don't stop praying. The scripture also tells us meditate on His word day and night. Meditate day and night. See, when we're not doing that, what are we doing? What are we doing with this precious gift? It is the most precious and the most valuable thing there is. And we often take it for granted. But we will suffer the consequences when we do that. So the call is to separate ourselves and spend time with the Lord. Let Him show you. Let Him work in your heart. Let Him change your mind and your perspective, your reality. Because the reality of this world is death and evil and sickness and poverty and crime and all kinds of turmoil and conflict. Is that anything we want to be a part of? God calls us out, but we seem to want to go back when we neglect our salvation. So when He calls, you come. When He says, spend time with me, spend time with me. And I'm not talking about neglecting your responsibilities or leaving your family or quitting your job. Spend time with God. Set time apart for God. An hour every morning. An hour before you go to bed. Just consistently do that. And you are sanctifying yourself. You are showing God that you can be faithful and He can trust you with His gospel. That's all He wants to do. Because once He can trust us with this precious gift, then He can give us the grace to share it with others. And if we're neglecting it, then we're not going to effectively share it with others. We're only going to make ourselves look foolish. What am I doing with the gospel? The call of the gospel. So the call is separation. The call is to come to Christ. Set your mind on things above. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Set your heart on knowing Him. So what is the lifestyle about? Out of that call comes the lifestyle of the gospel. We've been studying a lot about from the epistles and the apostles, Paul's, from Ephesians, the Philippians. And I think it's pretty safe to say that the apostle Paul was served an example of one who lived a gospel lifestyle. He said things like, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, but not I, yet Christ lives in me. I think we can say that he lived a gospel lifestyle. And he set himself as an example because he's the one that instructed us to pray without ceasing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He instructed us to pray. He set the model for those that live for Christ because he was completely and explicitly devoted to his Lord. We know Jesus is the ultimate example. But we certainly can look to the Apostle Paul for encouragement on how to live the lifestyle. But there's three things, and I mentioned them a little bit earlier. I said pray. We pray, and we pray, and we pray some more. Then we go to sleep. Then we wake up. Then we pray. We pray. We pray. You know the acronym PUSH. Pray until something happens. Cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. When we worry, pray. When we lack in sleep, pray. When we are lethargic, when we're struggling in our minds and our bodies and our hearts, when we're struggling with temptation, pray. Pray without ceasing. Because there's always going to be a struggle. Because according to Peter, the devil is a roaring lion. 1 Peter chapter 5. He seeks to whom he may devour. He seeks those that are not praying. Those that have separated themselves from the pack. He seeks those that are not meditating on the word day and night. You've got a bullseye on your forehead when you refuse to pray and study the Word of God consistently. Meditate day and night. Pray without ceasing. The Scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto who? Unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't apply what you don't know. And you can't know unless you study. Simple. So, there's a third thing. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about meditation and studying in God's word. And there's another one, serving. See, we were placed in the body of Christ exclusively to serve. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How do we do that? We work through service to one another. Why are we in the body if we are not willing to serve one another? What's the point? What's the point in God bringing us together if we can't courage and edify and strengthen and build one another towards the common goal of salvation? That's what it means. Work out your salvation. Work it out. Work together. Serve one another. That's not a difficult thing. It's something that we should take joy in. It's a part of this life. Jesus said, the greatest among you will be the servant. And I like one translation that says, the servant of all. You serve. If Jesus came to serve, what makes us? Are we better than Jesus? Serve. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Serve in humility. Serve like you love God. If you love me, keep my commandments. He says, serve one another. That's a commandment. Serve your brother. Love your brother. Edify your brother. Strengthen your brother. Why not? The biggest strength for someone who's weak is to go strengthen someone else. Encourage someone else. I can guarantee you, you will be encouraged. And you will know the peace and the joy of God. You will be strengthened when you strengthen others. Serve. Pray. Study. Serve. If we prioritize and place emphasis on those three things, we will be better off. And I'm not saying that we don't. But again, it's just a friendly reminder. And I love the fact that we do these things. I love the fact that we are students of the Word of God. I love the fact that we stand for the truth. I love the fact that we are a praying people. Because I know some people are praying for me. You have to be. I wouldn't be here. Not for. Study. Pray. Serve. That's a gospel lifestyle. God calls us to Himself. God calls us to separate ourselves from the world and humble ourselves before Him. He calls us to pray in everything, according to the Apostle Paul. Pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Pray. Study. Serve. So, now we talked about the gospel call, the gospel lifestyle. And we're going to talk about the power of the gospel. Where does the power come from? Does it come from us? Paul said, well, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Last time I checked, dead people don't have any power. The power comes from God. In Acts chapter 1, he says, in verse 8, you will receive power that which the Holy Ghost Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Through the gospel, we receive the precious Spirit of God. We receive the Spirit and the power. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body. It will empower you to do the will of God. Outside of the Spirit of God, you have no power. And listen, if we're neglecting, if we're not studying, if we're not praying, if we're not serving, and we're trying to function, we're functioning in our own power. And all that amounts to is futility. All it amounts to is vanity. And we're all subject to that. No one is exempt from futility and vanity. We're men. We're flawed. But God is perfect. And we have the very seed of perfection on the inside of us, looking to be nourished through prayer and the Word and through service. That's how the Spirit grows. That's how we become bold in our faith. That's how we become the light of the world. The light is that light which is in us. He said, let your light shine. Let it shine. It's going to shine. If you're doing no more than praying and studying and serving, your light is going to shine. People are going to notice. And then you have opportunity to share this great message. The power of the gospel is God Himself. There's nothing in our religious or our tradition. We can't drum up enough power to win a soul. But through the gospel, through the living and the preaching of the gospel, souls can be impacted. And that's really what it's all about. So don't, you know, and I know, you know, and I've been guilty of this, you know, going out trying to preach and tell people, you know, and I'm not consistently living it. And again, all I do is fall on my face. Of course, that's a posture of prayer. So that works for me. Because I can pray. Because I can cast my cares upon Him. We all can. We can come boldly before the throne of grace for help in a time of trouble. And we can receive power from God. This very Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, has brought us back from the dead. And will keep us as long as we hold fast. That's the power of the gospel. That's why we need not to be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Because the power doesn't come from Paul. Power doesn't come from Calvin. The power comes from God. We have to access that power. It's like trying to, you know, with what we do sometimes often, it's like trying to turn on a lamp and it's not plugged up. We can turn for eternity. It's not coming on. You plug it into the source and the light shines. The light comes on. That's the power of God. And this is the source. And this is the source. And we are the source. Every member, every person here is a source of our salvation. It's a means by which we can grow and understand God more and live this life. And that's really what it's all about. So prayer. Again, we pray without ceasing. And there's one that I probably should have mentioned, but I was talking about deal with repentance. And repentance is not just changing our behavior. Because anyone can change their behavior. Anyone can do things differently. Anyone can make a conscious decision to change their behavior. But repentance, true repentance, comes from God. We don't even have the ability to repent on our own. Because outside of the Spirit of God bringing the conviction, we don't know. You see that as evidence in the world out there. No spirit, no conviction. They just do whatever pleases them. But the Scripture says our Lord is in the heaven and He does whatever pleases Him. So He calls us to repentance. No one comes to the Father except a draw. He draws us to Himself. He calls us not to change our behavior, but to change our hearts. And our hearts are only changed in the presence of God. Our hearts are only changed by the grace of God. Religion and tradition will only make us religious and traditional sinners. And we will go to a religious and traditional hell. Behavior modification won't work. Willpower, good work ethic, whatever it is. No human effort will work. This is God's work. It's salvation. And it comes from Him. And it comes through the gospel. And if we've obeyed the gospel, then we have this precious gift. What are we going to do with it? That's the question. And only you can answer. If you have not obeyed the gospel, it's been laid out. Come to Jesus. Come with the heart ready to turn and repent and live for Him. Go down in the water of baptism and receive the Spirit of God, then you will have power to live for Christ, faithfully, and you will know that you are saved. If this is your desire, come forth as we stand and as we sing.